always great when we can chat with Herm Edwards. We love seeing him up in Lake Tahoe each and every July, but he joins us now right here on Sports 1140. Herm Edwards from ESPN. Herm, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
I'm well. You guys doing okay?
We're doing great, Herm. Herm, I thought what happened here in Oakland yesterday, that's just a bad look for the NFL. It's a bad look for both teams. Seemed like Michael Crabtree had this in his mind, that this was, you know, not going to die down after what happened last year. I want to get your thoughts on the incident that occurred between the Broncos and Raiders.
No, I agree with you, especially when it comes to two elite players, you know, two of the better players in the league, Pro Bowl players, by the way. Something like that occurs, you would hope now what happened, obviously, where it happened, some other players couldn't get involved and break them up, but then it continued to be an issue. And you're right. I mean, that's, you know, we always say the NFL is the league that we feel like everyone wants to emulate what we try to do, and we try to do it right. And 90% of the time, we do it right. But every once in a while, when you have these kind of outbursts, it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. You know, fans get all excited about that, but that's not the football that's taught, or that's not the way you play it either. So I know these guys will get fined. We'll see where it goes from there. I don't know if they'll get suspended a game or so. We'll wait and see on that.
Herm, staying in the AFC West, the Chiefs start out 5-0, and boy, oh boy, have they had trouble. I want you to tell me, though, Grant's brought this up a couple of times. Does any of this relate to the Eric Berry going down? That's kind of when this started happening a little bit.
No, I think it's more of their offense really is not the explosive offense we saw early. You know, when you think about points, I mean, they were scoring in the 30s.
Yep.
Early in the season, and now all of a sudden they can't find their rhythm offensively. Now, a lot of people are playing what we call cover two on them, not allowing them to have a vertical presence up the sideline. But with that being said, the middle's open. But you have to be a patient quarterback. There's a lot of checkdowns when it comes to cover two. You know, when you watch them play early, if you just remember all the explosive plays they had, whether it was Kelce, whether it was Hunt, whether it was Hill, we don't see that. That's not a part of their offense right now, and they're struggling. You're right. I mean, they were the ones about after week five that we just said, you know what, these guys are going to run away with this division and go hide. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? That L.A. Charger team is kind of good, too.
Yeah, you know what I love about what the Chargers are doing right now? You know, the old adage is the NFL season really begins on Thanksgiving. Well, now Thanksgiving's in our rearview mirror. Here's what I like about the Chargers. You know what? They're able to put points on the board, and they've got two bona fide pass rushers, and you've got to account for them on every single play. The Chargers, to me, are in a really good position right now.
They really are, and when you look at their schedule as well, you know, they have a schedule that says, hey, we can make a run at this. And they're a very confident team right now. Phillip Rivers is, you watch him against the Dallas Cowboys, boy. He's the old gunfighter, man. He just slings it. You can't get to him because he throws it fast, you know. And Keenan Allen is playing marvelous right now. You know, their tight end Henry is playing well. This offense has got a little vibe to it. And you mentioned the pass rushers. You're right, with Ingram and then obviously Bosa. Their secondary is doing a nice job as well too, taking the balls away, giving Phillip Rivers some extra possessions. All that adds up to winning football.
Herm, when you look at the Steelers, this is a team that's 9-2. But I was telling Grant earlier, they're kind of a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. are they that threat to the Patriots, who are you know, the poster boy for consistency most times?
Well, this is how they built their team, especially on the defensive side of it, where when New England in the past had spread them out, and they weren't equipped enough in the back end to cover those guys. They had to play a lot of zone. And when Captain America sees zone, he just kind of rips it apart. Now, no longer is that the case. They still play some zone, but they've got some players in the back end that are doing a nice job of covering people. They're kind of one of those teams that they know how good they are. It's kind of like, you know, they almost look at their opponents each week and go, okay, well, you know, we got it. We'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And in that game last night, I mean, you know, Hundley did a nice job. I mean, he was a guy that really was struggling. And last night, boy, I tell you what, Mike McCarthy did a fabulous job with him to get him ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers there. That's a tough place to win, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that stadium is very, very difficult. And really played well. That offense played well. Defense for the most part. But here again, when you have that big three that they have, and this is what stars do, in the moments when it's big, they make plays. Mm-hmm. And them three big stars made some plays.
Herm, I want you to talk to me from a coach's perspective about the Rams and what Sean McVay may have been facing. I mean, here's a guy that's younger than some of the guys he's talking to. So it's the first day you're in the meeting room, and you got to win the respect of that team. You're coming off a horrific season. You weren't there. You got a quarterback that you need to play well. And to think of the job that he's done with his coaching staff, and it's just amazing to me. So give me your thoughts on when you talk about Sean McVay.
Well, you know, he's an MVP candidate for Coach of the Year. He's done a remarkable job. I actually did their first game on radio for ESPN when they played the Colts. And you could see the difference then. I was down on the field visiting with a bunch of the players, and they were really excited. And the quarterback, I mean, he looked very comfortable as a quarterback. He wasn't the same guy you saw last year where he was, you know, he didn't really know how to – go about doing his business, you know, because the guy, you know, now you got to remember this too. He was at a school at Cal where he read off the cards. You know, he never had to go in the huddle and call the plays and make decisions at the line of scrimmage. Everything's off the cards. So he struggled a little bit with that last year. Didn't play early, obviously. And then to come back and have the season that he's having right now says a lot about Sean, but says a lot about the kid too, because he was under a lot of criticism. You know, people thought he was a bust. I mean, and for him to come back with the year he's had, that says a lot about how tough he is mentally.
You know, Herm, a team that you know a bunch about, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug Peterson, similar situation. Red zone efficiency, 17 out of the last 20, and boy, oh boy, they're going for the kill on fourth downs. What's gotten into this Eagle bunch?
Well, even last year, you could see some things building, obviously, early. Then they hit a little speed bump, midway quarterback, you know, young guy, rookie. But he has really, really just changed the whole personality of this organization, and the fan bases are excited about this kid. I mean, he is what you see. He's legit. I mean, he is probably going to win the MVP award. I mean, it's between him and Captain America up there in New England. But the way he's playing right now and the way the offense is playing, defensively, they've got a nice rotation of rushers. They got a good linebacker core. They had a young secondary that people were a little bit nervous about, me being one of them early in the season. Said, you know, they're not seasoned. We'll see what happens. As this season has gone on, they've gotten a lot better as well. Aguilar is a guy that, when you think about him last year, he was a guy they actually benched. I mean, mentally was not ready to play football. And he is having a fabulous year. Jeffries comes over and is playing well. They got two tight ends that are really good. So this is a good football team. They are legit. I think that what they're trying to do now is win enough games. They have home field advantage. We have to go in there and play them in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, Herm, another coaching question for you, because a couple of weeks ago we heard the word quit as it was associated with the Giants and the Broncos. And I got to be honest, Herm, I don't even know how to define the word quit. I think we can. Yeah. It's the eyeball test. You can tell when guys are out there maybe not playing 100%. But here's what I'm going to ask you. There are so many teams right now that really are not playing anything other than their jobs, personal pride. You always say, hey, you play the game to win the game. But still, right. talk to me about coaching a team in the month of December, as we turn the calendar here next weekend, that has, you know, that's not in the playoff picture, and it's your job to get the guys to go out and play, you know, at a certain level. How difficult can that be?
It can be difficult, but I think this too, how you go about your business is very important, and I've always stressed to these players, you know, the name on the back of the jersey belongs to you. And when you go out there, you actually perform, and it's on tape for everyone to watch, especially your teammates. And you never want to be one of those guys that all of a sudden when the game's over and the next day we're reviewing the film and the players are going, hey, man, what's this guy doing? You know, this is an emotional game. You have to have emotion. And I think when people say, you know, teams quit, I don't know if it's quit so much. It's that they lose their energy. You know, and when you're losing, it's easy to lose energy and think, here we go again, right? So you got to keep that burden away. You always got to give these guys hope. There's always a game to be won. And it's the only game you can win is the game you play that day. And that's important. You know, winning is important. Regardless of how many wins you have, there's a standard that you have to build in with your team. Now, some teams are young, and you understand that a lot of these guys, when they're young players, and I went through this in Kansas City with a bunch of young guys where they were just learning how to be professional football players. There's this process of learn how to be a pro, and then the next phase is learn how to win. You know, so that's it's easier said than done, and it's a difficult task, you know, but that's the task you have sometimes, and that's the type of team sometimes you're coaching.
Hey, Herm, I'm so happy you said that, because I'm going to equate that to the NBA, because we're talking about the team that we covered, the Sacramento Kings, and they're a very young team. They hit the reset button last year, and they have all these young kids, and they first thing they have to do is learn how to be a professional. In basketball, you only have 12 other teammates, but in the NFL, you've got a locker room of 50-plus, and you got a lot of coaches. Did you feel that learning how to be a professional was – does that come from you and your coaching staff mostly, or does it come from the veterans in the locker room?
It comes from both, and, you know, it comes from, you know, how they process information, how they go about their day's work. You know, this is your chosen profession. This is not a hobby. It's not like you're in college where you're a student athlete, which is important. You know, you have time on your hand, a lot of idle time. The guys that become good pro football players and have long careers, they use that time wisely. You know, they understand their priorities. And, you know, when the season gets long, it's tough, you know, and I always tell players, hey, look, we're all excited when we go to training camp. I get that part.
Right.
The key is we got to still be excited in week 10.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, these games count. I mean, you know, there's a process for how you go about doing that. Your stamina, your mental stamina is very important because of the strain that's put on you during the season. You know, obviously your body, staying healthy is important as well. You know, dealing with, am I injured or am I hurt? There's a difference.
Yes,
you know,
there is.
A difference. There's a difference.
There's a big difference,
you know,
coach.
And guys got to learn how to play when they're hurt, you know. If you're injured, obviously you can't play. But
right.
Some guys want to boil that hurt. Well, I'm hurting. Yeah, that hurt. Everybody hurts. Playing hurts. I always
right.
tell players, you know, the guys that don't hurt, those are the guys that stand on the sideline. They don't play a whole lot.
Coach, what you say? You can't make the club if what?
If you're in the tub.
You know, I always tell players, you know, you always hear players say, hey, coach, I'm coachable. I said, no, there's one more important thing to being coachable. Be available. Availability is critical.
No doubt.
That's a classic.
Coach, you know, I'm not sure about this team, the Vikings, Case Keenum. But tell me this week they face the Falcons. Who do we learn more about this week, the Falcons or the Vikings?
I think you learn more about the Vikings
wow.
quarterback, because every week I think we question this quarterback.
Yes.
We say, well, is it this week?
Right.
He's proving us all wrong. This guy's getting ready to make a lot of money. He's going to end up making it very difficult for Minnesota at the end of the season go, okay, what are we going to do now?
Right. Yep.
Because Teddy Bridgewater's sitting there. Mm-hmm. I think the Atlanta Falcons, the reason I say you don't have to worry about them, they found their sea legs. I think that Seattle win was important to them. It was very, very important to them. You know, their problem had been, and we saw it last year unfold, I'm talking about Atlanta now, in the fourth quarter and in the second half of the seasons, they would let people come back. They weren't good playing with a lead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in the Super Bowl, but that happened to them four times in the regular season as well. And that carried over a little bit early in the season when they had these leads early, and then all of a sudden late, people would come back on them. You know, we saw them play Chicago and Detroit, you know, and those teams were very close to beating them, or a play away from beating them when they had these leads, right? I think the Seattle game, really, they found their way. They looked like Atlanta. You said, okay, this is Atlanta. You know, and as much people were saying, well, you know, Julio in the schoolyard's done. Well, Julio found the schoolyard again. He said, he ain't done yet. No, I was thinking, you know, that number 11, you got to know where number 11 lines up, boys, because if you can't cover him, we got problems.
Right.
Her final thing for you, and I know that this is we don't have a solution to officiating, and I get the fact you're trying to protect the players, and I think everyone's saying, okay, fine, but, boy, we see some calls, and particularly last night and this weekend, where when you look at the replay, and, again, I know the officials don't have replays to look at, but there shouldn't be 15-yard unsportsmanlike or defenseless, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's getting very difficult to officiate, isn't it?
Well, it is, because, you know, we don't know what a catch is anymore. Even though we look at it, you know, five guys look at a catch and three of them say it's this and the other two. And I'm talking about fans too now. I'm just talking about the officials. I mean,
right.
Five guys look at a catch and they go, three of them agree and two of them don't. Say, no, that's not okay. Okay. And then you say, you know, we watch some pass interference calls sometimes, not called and called. And you wonder, well, is that offensive pass interference? How can that be? So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, look, these guys, I've always said this about officials. For the most part, they get it right. They never have a home game. That's a problem too. You know, whenever they show up, it's never a home game for them. And if it comes down to a couple plays that we're talking about the next day rather than the game, that becomes a problem. You know, the officials, their job is they don't want to be seen. They don't want to really be seen. They just want to officiate the game. But when they're the talk after the game is over, that's not good.
Yeah.
Herm, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have yourself a wonderful holiday. And, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Appreciate you, Coach.
My pleasure, man. You guys have a thing. Thank you now.
Thank you. That's Herm Edwards. And